Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmanville this morning. It's good to see you here today. The spring has sprung. Sun is shining. Feels pretty good out there today. So we're glad you're here as we've gathered to worship the one true and living God. Special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us, and also a special welcome to those who are joining us via live stream. So would you please join me in prayer? With all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we gather to praise you, our Lord. But this is only possible through your presence in us and by your grace. Otherwise, we're easily distracted from where we wish to be. Thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. And like the wind that blows across our land, we cannot control it. But like a ship at sea, we can lift our sails and journey with it. By your mercy and grace, move us. Help us to grow and be transformed by your Holy Spirit. Give us open hearts to receive from you today as we sing our praises to you. In the strong and powerful name of Jesus, amen. You join in worshiping the King.
I'm going to be reading from Jesus' calling this morning. Be still in my presence, even though countless tasks clamor for your attention. And some of you I may have already lost because you're thinking, I forgot to put my offering in before I sat down. During the first two songs, I invite you to come forward and put your offerings in the plate if you did forget. Offering our tithes and gifts to God is an act of worship also. So be still in my presence. Nothing is as important as spending time with me. While you wait in my presence, I do my best work within you, transforming you by the renewing of your mind. If you skimp on this time with me, you may plunge headlong into the wrong activities, missing the richness of what I have planned for you. Do not seek me primarily for what I can give you. Remember that I, the giver, am infinitely greater than any gift I might impart to you. Though I delight in blessing my children, I am deeply grieved when my blessings become idols in their hearts. Anything can be an idol if it distracts you from me as your first love. When I am the ultimate desire of your heart, you are safe from the danger of idolatry. As you wait in my presence, enjoy the greatest gift of all, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Will you please stand and join us as we sing, Change My Heart, O God, and I Give You My Heart.
My heart, oh God, may I be light. Let us pray. Lord, we come before you to share of your own generosity toward us. Help us to be generous toward you with all that you've poured out, and we are here to share today praise and honor to you. We are also here to share in the needs of Nate Magali and your work in their lives in various cultures. We ask that you would meet their needs financially and emotionally and in cultural changes and the other areas, that you would just give them wisdom and direction for the future, and that they would be eager to live out your purposes wherever they're planted. And we just thank you for the blessing of them here in this congregation for this time. Give them everything that you have in store and allocated for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sound.
church right now. Day is a great trial and darkness. There are also days of rebuilding and harvesting, declaring the word of the Lord. And what a glorious day it will be when Jesus returns. So, Father God, just transform our hearts, souls, and minds, and allow you to be the king of our lives. Thank you for this gift of salvation. Amen. And we have one more song, Lord, Reign in Me. So claim it and declare it. Lord, there are so many of them, and Lord, we just thank you. We want you to reign in us every day, every moment, every minute of our lives. So Lord, I just pray that you would be near Larry as he brings us your message this morning. It's in your precious name that we pray. Amen.
Well, I'd invite any children to come forward for the children's story this morning. Well, good morning. It's good to see you here this morning. Thanks for coming front. So what was yesterday? Saturday. Yeah, it was Saturday. That's right. First day of spring. That's exactly right. And I love the first day of spring because this is what happens when spring comes. We get beautiful flowers growing. They start bursting up out of the ground and start to bloom. So spring is pretty exciting because we see new life around us. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to plant some flowers because I want some flowers to grow that look right like this, okay? Anybody know what kind of flowers these are?
I don't know.
You got some at home? Yeah, okay. Pansies, that's exactly right. So if I want to grow pansies, what do you think I have to plant? What kind of seed? Pansy seed, exactly. If I want to grow pansy flowers, I need to grow pansy seeds because you're going to get whatever you plant. So I'm going to open this up. Sprinkle these pansy seeds in there. Cover them up. Add a little water to that. They need water to grow, right? A little water to that. Put a piece of cardboard over top. See, I got some stones here. Put some stones over top of there. See, I got some cotton balls here. Don't you think it'd be nice to see those flowers growing up through the white cotton balls? Look pretty special, wouldn't it? So we'll put some cotton balls on top of there. All right. They don't seem to be growing. I got an idea. You know, I heard somewhere that plants like to be sung to. Because it helps them to grow better, right? So maybe if we sing to the seeds that we just planted, maybe it'll help them grow. So let's sing Jesus Loves Me, okay? You gonna help? I want you all to join in singing. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Now, Why aren't they growing? Did I do something wrong? No. Why aren't they growing?
Because they need summer.
They need summer. Summer's coming, yes, absolutely. What else do they need?
Sunlight.
Sunlight? Absolutely, they need sunlight.
They need time.
They need time to grow, yes. These plants didn't get like this just overnight by the planting them, and then all of a sudden you have flowers. It takes time. It takes time, it takes rain, it takes sunshine, it takes all those things to help them grow, make them grow. So do you think all this stuff I put on top of them could be a problem? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to remove them. And now when they get the sunshine and the rain, eventually they'll grow, sprout into nice green plants, and then they'll eventually bloom and look like this. So sometimes we can be like these seeds. See, all those things I put on top of them kept them from sprouting, or will keep them from sprouting and growing and eventually blooming. So sometimes we do things that keep us from being more like Jesus. Sometimes we do things like maybe fighting with our brothers and sisters. Sometimes maybe being unkind to each other. Maybe sometimes not obeying our parents. The Bible tells us we should obey our parents, and also says that we should be imitators of God. Ephesians 5:1-2 says, be imitators of God as dearly loved children, and live a life of love just as Jesus loved us and gave himself up as a sacrifice for us. So what does it mean to imitate God? Do you know what it means to imitate? What does it mean to imitate? Be like him, yeah. Do the same things he does. So we imitate God by loving others, being kind to others, obeying our parents, and then we can grow in our love for God and our love for others. Now, we need to understand that we won't actually bloom like these flowers are blooming. We won't actually bloom. But we can grow, and we can bloom into and be the kind of person that God wants us to be. So I'd like to have a word of prayer. God, we just thank you that you love us. Thank you for the love that you have for each one of these children here this morning. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that they would develop a deep love for you also, and that they would learn to be kind to one another, learn to obey their parents, and learn to love and trust you for the salvation of their souls. So I ask for your blessing upon them today in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Now, right beside Jericho, there's a bag with some goodies in. If you'll look at those gummy things, you'll notice that they're actually blooms of flowers. So while you're eating them, think about the flowers. So you can each have one of those little bags of goodies as you go back to your seat. Thank you for coming up. Flower gummies, yes. Can you believe that? Well, again, greetings in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the powerful and mighty name. And again, welcome to each one of you. Thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message. I certainly do deeply appreciate your prayers on my behalf. And this morning, there's a big hole up front here because the youth are away on their spiritual life retreat this weekend. So I'd just like to pause right now, have a word of prayer for them and ask God to bless our time together this morning. Would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your presence with us here this morning as we've gathered to worship you. And as the youth are away this weekend on a spiritual life retreat, we ask, Father God, that you would be with them as they're meeting to worship you this morning. I ask that through this retreat, you would help them to grow in their relationship with you, that those roots of faith would grow deep, and they would also learn to know one another better on this retreat. So we ask for your blessing upon them as they return home this afternoon. Give them safety on the highway. And I pray, Father God, you would be with us here this morning as we look into your word. And I ask, Father God, in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ, that you would wake us up. Wake us up. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So this morning we're going to continue our journey through Lent, journey that leads us to the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. And my prayer is that the truth and the reality that Jesus is alive today would awaken us from our lukewarmness and apathy about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and stir within our hearts the urgency of the hour in which we live today. Today, the call is for a call to deep growth, so that our roots of faith can grow deep into the heart of God, so we can stand firm and be who God is calling us to be as individual followers of Jesus Christ and also as a body, his church. So the text I'd like to look at first this morning is John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20 through verse 36. So I'd like to read that at this time. John chapter 12, beginning at verse 20. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the feast. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip in turn told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it and will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. "We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus told them, "You're going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light, before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light." When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. May God bless the reading of his holy word. This passage gives us a beautiful picture of the necessary sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Unless a kernel of wheat is buried in the ground, it will not become a blade of wheat producing many seeds. Jesus died to pay the penalty for our sin, but he also died to show his power over death. We must be deeply committed to living for Jesus, so much so that we hate our lives in this world. This does not mean that we long to die or that we are careless or destructive with the life God has given to us. It means that we desire to die to our own selfish nature, which is a daily exercise, so that God can use us to share the good news and bring others into his kingdom. When we lay aside our striving for advantage, our striving for security, our striving for pleasure, we can serve God because we love him, which frees us from this war to control our lives. I mentioned in a previous message, during this season of Lent, let's work. Let's work at letting go. Letting go of this need to be in control. Because when we transfer control of our lives to Jesus, it leads to incredible joy, and joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. You see, Jesus, in this passage, Jesus knew that his crucifixion lay ahead of him. And because he was human, he was dreading it. He knew he was going to have to take the sins of the entire world upon himself. And he knew this would separate him from his heavenly Father for a moment. Jesus also knew that his Father God had sent him into the world to die for our sins in our place. Jesus said no to his human desires in order to obey his heavenly Father and to glorify his Father's name. The crowd that was there and heard the voice from heaven caused some to say that it had thundered. Others said that an angel had spoke. And then Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I'm lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself." The crowd assembled there that day could not believe what Jesus was saying. Today we do know that Jesus did indeed die for our sins. Not only did he die, he also rose from the dead, conquering sin and death. During this season of Lent, we're called to deep relationship with Jesus. We're called to deep commitment to Jesus. We're called to deep wisdom, God's wisdom. We're called to deep healing for our broken and our wounded hearts and lives. And today we are called to deep growth. Someone has said, if you're not growing, you're dying. I believe very strongly that the kind of growth we're talking about requires some very intentional activity. If a farmer desires to plant a crop of corn, it requires that he prepare the soil and then plant corn seeds in order to harvest a corn crop. So I grew up on a farm. We planted corn. One observation about a stalk of corn: it needs sunshine, it needs rain to grow. Now, during a growing season, when rain is plentiful, a stalk of corn can grow very tall, lush, green, looks beautiful. But if a thunderstorm with gusty winds rolls across that beautiful field of corn, the chances of the stalks being uprooted is fairly high. Why? Because its roots haven't gone down into the soil very deeply, because there's a lot of moisture in the top. So it's getting the moisture from the top and its roots aren't going down. On the other hand, if it's dry and rainfall isn't as plentiful, the roots go deep as they search for moisture. So it is with our spiritual lives. When things are going well, the tendency is to neglect being intentional about nurturing our relationship with the Lord so that growth can occur. But when the winds of adversity blow into our lives and we seek and we search for God, our roots of faith in God grow deep. We're called to deep growth in our relationship with the Lord. I believe very strongly that our relationship with the Lord is based on the grace of God. It's based on the grace of God. In many of the Apostle Paul's writings, he began with the phrase, "Grace and peace to you." In 1 and 2 Peter, we see that Peter also begins his writings with greetings of grace and peace. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18a, under the heading of Hope for Growing Christians, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So for the next few minutes, I'd like to focus on this five-letter word called grace. God's grace is a constant theme throughout the Scriptures, and it culminates in the New Testament with the coming of Jesus Christ. John 1:17 says, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." God's grace is a free gift to all mankind. But understand this, it cost Jesus his life. The only person who ever lived a sinless and a perfect life, it caused him his life. Now, what am I talking about when I say the word grace? In the New Testament, grace is translated from the Greek word charis, which means favor, blessing, or kindness. When the word grace is used in connection with God, it takes on a very, very powerful meaning. Grace is God choosing to bless us rather than curse us as our sins deserve. Psalm 103, verse 10 is one of the many scriptures which conveys this idea. He, God, does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Now, this is all based upon our attitude towards our sin. When we ask God for forgiveness, when we repent and turn to Him, then He does not treat us as our sins deserve. The only way that any one of us sitting here this morning can enter into a relationship with God is because of His amazing grace. Ephesians 2:8, "For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." We are called to deep growth. We should be growing in God's grace. And by that I mean we should be growing in our understanding of how God's grace affects our lives and our relationship with Him. But perhaps, and maybe just as importantly, or maybe even more so, we should be growing in extending that same grace to others. So I'd like to take a look at two things. There's many more things we could say, but I'm going to look at just two things this morning. First of all, There we go. Transforming grace. God's grace transforms us. That is, God's grace is supernaturally changing us from the inside out. Romans 12:2, very familiar verse. "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." What Paul is saying is that if we want to live in God's good, acceptable, and perfect will, it doesn't come from our abilities, but rather comes through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit and God's grace. Paul is saying, don't allow the outside pressures of this world to change you into its image or what it considers to be Christian. But be transformed from the inside out by the transforming grace of God. God's transforming grace should be supernaturally changing us more and more into the image of God. Secondly, sustaining grace. Life here on this earth is filled with many disappointments, many heartaches, much struggle and strife. That's called life. Many, many people are and have experienced stress and anxiety that is through the roof. The stress and the strain on relationships that COVID has caused in many of our lives this past year is heartbreaking. Perhaps you're here this morning and you feel like you've been through the ringer. What we all need to remember is something that I believe the Apostle Paul knew well and used the analogy of a fight and a race to reveal this truth to us. In 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8a, Paul says to Timothy and to us here this morning, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness. Like Paul, we can depend on this promise. When we repent of our sin, ask God for forgiveness, and accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior, and there's a big difference between our Savior and our Lord. Then we can cross the finish line with heaven and eternity with God on the other side. What's important to remember is that God's sustaining grace gives us the strength to finish the race. It's God's sustaining grace that keeps us going when we feel like quitting. It's God's sustaining grace that helps us do what is right when doing what is wrong would be so much easier. Paul counted on God's sustaining grace to get him through, and so can we. So I'd like you to listen to these words from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 7 to 10. To keep me from being conceited because of these surpassing great revelations, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. God's sustaining grace is sufficient to meet our every need. So when we experience something that has us down or something that we can't fix, keep looking to God, because God's sustaining grace can and will carry us through. Perhaps the problem some of us have when it comes to God's grace is that we have a hard time accepting it, meaning believing that it's true. We have a hard time receiving it, allowing it into our lives, and we have a hard time extending it to others. Maybe that's because God's grace shocks us at what it offers. Not only what it offers to us, but what it offers to others as well. You see, grace is a gift that costs everything to the giver. It costs Jesus' life. But nothing to the receiver. It is freely given to those who don't deserve it. barely recognize it, and hardly appreciate it. God's grace is greater than all of our sin. That is why we need to be extending grace so readily to others instead of condemning them. Just as God extended grace to us for the awful, no good, terrible things we've done, we also need to be extending that same grace to others. We are called to deep growth during this season of Lent and beyond. So hear this word. Hear this word from the Lord this morning. If we are not living and growing in God's transforming, liberating, sustaining, restoring, and amazing grace, and then extending that same grace to others, we're living outside the will of God. Let me repeat that. If we are not living and growing in God's transforming, liberating, sustaining, restoring, and amazing grace, and then extending that same grace to others, we're living outside of the will of God. What is the Holy Spirit speaking to you today concerning the grace of God? Do you need to grow in accepting it, believing that it's true? Do you need to grow in receiving it, allowing God to do His work in you? Do you need to grow in extending it to others? What is the Spirit speaking to you this morning? The altar is open this morning. If the Spirit is speaking to you, you may come forward and kneel at the altar. I'm going to have a prayer in a few minutes. But I invite anyone if the Spirit is speaking to that you feel like you need to grow in accepting God's grace, you need to grow in receiving it, you need to grow in extending it to others, please come and kneel at the altar this morning. Is there anyone else? Do you need to grow in accepting God's grace? First of all, believing that it's true. Secondly, receiving it, allowing God to do that work in your heart. And then also to extend that same amazing grace to God. I'm going to kneel this morning in prayer, and I invite you to join me in praying. Almighty God, we come before you right now in the powerful and the strong name of Jesus Christ. And I pray for my brothers and sisters who've responded to this invitation this morning. I pray, Father God, that you would help them in whatever area they need to grow in. If it's accepting your grace, if it's receiving your grace, or if it's extending your amazing grace to others, I pray you would help me along with my brothers and sisters here this morning at the altar. To grow. We want to grow in knowing, receiving, and extending your amazing grace to others. So I ask in the strong and powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would hear our cry this morning, that you would have mercy upon us, you would help us all to grow in your amazing grace. It's in the strong and powerful name of Jesus I pray. Amen. God bless you. So I'd like to invite the worship team to come and lead us in a closing song. Well, thank you for your attention this morning. I have one announcement to make. It's concerning the Bowmanville Terrehill Ministerium. Is in the process of planning a week-long summer service project for the churches to come together for a week this summer, work together to meet needs within our congregations and also within our community. That week is going to be the week of July 12th to the 16th. So if you want to be a part of that to help to serve one, two, three, maybe the whole week, whatever, how many days you want, you can serve how many days you want. But let me know so we know how many people we have so we can line up work for the entire week. And if you have a need at your house that you would like this group of people to meet, let me know about that as well, because we're looking for needs also within the church family and also in the community. So it's a way that we can all work together, show the community that we're unified as one church, and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. So that's something that's going to be happening this summer. So let me know if you're interested in participating or if you would have a project that the group could work with or work on. Also, a reminder, tonight at 6:30, you're invited back to fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit in the church basement. So would you stand to receive this parting blessing from 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week. You're dismissed.